Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Wednesday, January 29th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that hopes everyone had a happy Flyers Day yesterday. Did you happen to see any of the Flyers Day stuff going around, Danielle?
Yeah, I did. I was so upset that I wasn't able to, participate in it.
I know, it's hard when you're far away, but I don't remember if it was last year when they did it, but I actually got them to go visit my mom, and she got flowers and tickets to a Flyers game, because it was, her birthday that day, I think.
Oh my god, how awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I love that they do that. I don't know if too many other teams do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. In the meantime, you can subscribe to Locked On Flyers on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts these days, here on the Locked On Sports Network, your team every day. We're your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today we are going to talk about the upcoming trade deadline and what that might mean for the Flyers. And like we hinted at yesterday, talk a little bit about the Flyers end of season awards on a request from listener Alex, and then dip into a couple more mailbag questions. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers and submit your questions for our mailbag that way, or just tell us what you think about the team overall. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. So the trade deadline is approaching, less than a month away now. And I think the big question right now for the Flyers is, are we buyers or sellers or neither? Or what do you think's going on here?
We talked about the playoff picture. And I don't know. I don't think that the Flyers are sellers. I don't think that makes sense to sell anyone off right now. But I don't necessarily think they're buyers. I think we might just stay pat and see what the roster that we have right now, or any modifications that we can make in-house. I think that's the best bet for them. Because when you look at Cap Friendly, the Flyers have no money, which is clear because all of the up and down transactions they've had to do with players getting off of injury reserve, going on to injury reserve. So we're right up against the cap.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot, honestly, on the Nolan Patrick situation, because I think that if they think he's going to be able to play, then I think you're right that they don't do anything. But if they don't, we can see over the course of this season how they've sort of struggled to lock down that 3C role. And they've tried a bunch of different people, and some of them have worked out fine, but nothing has clicked really well that they've kept with any consistent basis. And I think knowing that Chuck seems to be in more of a win now mode, that he wouldn't bet the farm, but I think he's absolutely willing to entertain moves. And so I think that the Flyers could potentially be in the market for a 3C if they really think Nolan Patrick isn't coming back.
To get a 3C, you would move Shane Goss to spare, because that cap space is, I feel like you can get a good one at that price. So do you think that the defense can continue on without Goss to spare?
I actually do. I really, as much as it hurts me deeply inside, I love Ghost. And that I feel like with him, there's no more of a sell high opportunity with him. Just the combination of injury, and he hasn't performed as well this season. And so I feel like the trade deadline is when you're going to get the most for him. And so to be able to clear some cap space to get a potential 3C, I think is a good option. And I think, we saw Mark Friedman come up and be pretty successful. And I think that at least for the remainder of this season, they would be okay defensively. I think that there's a possibility they could end up having to look between seasons over the summer to add to that, depending on how things pan out this year. But I do think they could ride out the season without Ghost.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say. I don't know.
I know. Like, this is my brain talking, not my heart, for sure.
No, I know. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like my heart is just, I just can't imagine this team without Ghost. I know that's weird to say, but I really can't. And he's really the piece that is the most expendable. Also, I don't like the fact that if Ghost is not on the roster, then that means that Haig is. And I know, he's been doing better lately. But it makes me nervous because, you know, even though we do have that the kid pairing of Sanheim and Myers is very good, but it just makes me a little bit nervous because AV could, that pairing can get exposed, especially if you're sheltering Bronze pairing. So it just gives me a little bit of worry. But I agree with you that he is, I mean, you can get a really good deal for him. I mean, he has 3 years left on his contract, even now or in the summer. So, I mean, I definitely see I see why you would say that. Was there anyone that you think could fit in that 3C role?
So the couple of names that have come up in kind of rumors around the Flyers are JJ Pageau, and if you want a cheap 3C, Trevor Lewis. So I obviously would prefer Pageau because he's a really good player. And I think if they got rid of Ghost, they could figure out the cap space to make it work. But if they can't, then it's Trevor Lewis, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that JJ Pageau is obviously the best choice here. He's so dynamic and he's just a really underrated center or playmaking center. But see, I don't think it makes sense to trade Ghost for a Pageau for someone who's not going to be here. I feel like trading Ghost is a lot to get someone who's just going to be here for this season because, you know, pending Nolan Patrick's health and Morgan's development, then, you know, you wouldn't want a long-term 3C because you have one internally. So, I don't know. I'm just very hesitant, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess my assumptions are based on Nolan Patrick not coming back for the foreseeable future, and that could include into next year. I think if they really think he's going to come back, then I wouldn't do any of this.
Yeah. No, I think it's smart to think of it that way for this season. I really wasn't thinking into next season just from, like, you know, what we've heard from, like, Nicholas Backstrom and Nick Bjugstad both have a similar condition like Patrick, and they were out, like, only one season. So I wasn't really thinking into next year, but, yeah, I mean, that's something that you do have to think about. But definitely I do think that Pageau is the best. I don't know if I would do this trade for a Trevor Lewis. That's just me, though.
No, I think there's other moves they could make in order to look at Trevor Lewis, who obviously makes a lot less money.
More affordable, but I don't know. I mean, hey, you know, he could come in and kill it at the 3C position.
It's true. You never know. I mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for Trevor Lewis, for sure. But like, it doesn't mean I think he's the best thing for the Flyers at the moment either. Do you think there's any other need that the Flyers have or scenario that there would be any other kind of deal the Flyers would do at trade deadline?
I don't think so, because I think the Flyers would have to make like a hockey deal or a hockey trade. And I just don't know if that's something that could be done in season and not like in the off season. I mean, you really look at the teams that are kind of pretty much at the bottom, and I really don't know. I don't know what center you would want from them, and I don't think it's like I don't think that the Flyers need another winger, unless it's like a dynamic one that really just drives play on his line. So I really don't know.
I don't think so either, to be honest. I think, you know, unless, God forbid, we need some sort of emergency goaltending situation, I think really the 3C is the only thing the Flyers need to go after. All right, well, we'll see how that all plays out as the trade line approaches, and we'll continue to talk about it. So we were looking at stuff for our mailbag this week and got a really great email from our listener, Alex, who asked us about the Flyer Season Awards. We talked about the NHL End of Season Awards and what we thought about them. And this is the specific team awards that the Flyers give out every year. And Alex had some really good suggestions for who might win this year. And so I thought we would go through those. So just as a reminder, we have the Bobby Clark Trophy, which is the MVP, the Barry Ashby Trophy, which is for the Outstanding Defenseman, the Pelle Lindbergh Memorial Trophy, which is for Most Improved, Yannick Dupre Class Guy Memorial Award, the Gene Hart Memorial Award, and the Toyota Cup. I think we'll skip the Toyota Cup because that's the star of the game points, and that's just who has the most points at the end of the season. But starting with the Bobby Clark Trophy for MVP, which is voted on by the writers and media and broadcasters, who do you think might be getting that one this year?
I really can't dispute that Sean Couturier is the most valuable player. He, without him in the lineup, just, I mean, obviously the center depth is just really, it takes a hit. And Couturier just, he gives the other lines like better matchups. He just does so much defensively as well as offensively. So for me, it's just without a doubt Couturier for the most valuable player.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. And that was Alex's pick too. I think that there really isn't another option here. Coots has been a leader on the ice in every way, and I know the writers love him too. So I think Coots is probably going to end up with it at the end of the year. For the Barry Ashby Trophy for Outstanding Defenseman, also voted on by the writers and broadcast media, who you got there?
Okay, so for me, I put Ivan Provorov, which is, again, another, like, of course. He's just, I mean, in 50 games, he has 9 goals, 16 assists for 25 points, and he's only 1 point behind his total all of last year. So,
yeah, I agree. I think Provorov, especially given the season that he had last year and how much he's improved, and I know there is a separate Most Improved award, but I think by far Provy has proven to be the driving force of the Flyers' blue line, and he's got that Iron Man thing going as well. So I think that there really isn't any other choice there.
I think I could be swayed to see Matt Niskanen just because, you know, I mean, he helps Provorov a lot. He helps all of them a lot. And of course, with that, he's like the team dad. So I could see him being that. But I think Provorov's stats just, you know, obviously put him as the best defenseman so far.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Speaking of Matt Niskanen, the next on the list is the Most Improved Player Award. So this is voted on by the teammates. I don't know if he would have a first-year player, but I think Niskanen could have a shot here.
You know, that's actually a really good point. When I saw this, I thought it was like, I just felt like you couldn't not pick Travis Konecny, but I could see a Matt Niskanen here as well, like looking at his season with the Caps last year.
I think so, too. And, you know, especially given that I think TK are in the conversation for... is in the conversation for other awards. I think this one sometimes comes out of left field because it is voted on by the players.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, you know, TK is a really good option, though, as well. So for the Class Guy Award, I also wonder if this is something that Niskanen could win, because he's kind of the dad of the locker room, and this feels like something that the dad would get, you know?
Yeah, I mean, last year Andrew McDonald got it, so I could definitely see that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, another good option where, and this was Alex's pick, but I wasn't quite sure just because of how snarky he is sometimes, but Kevin Hayes, because he's just that, like, bright, shining face in the locker room and is always making jokes. But he has also done some really good charity work off the ice. And so, I don't know. I think both are really good picks.
Yeah, I think so, too. I went a different route for this. I picked Oscar Lindblom just because of when everything went down and everyone was talking about Oscar, all you kept hearing was just how nice of a guy he is, how he's just a class act, like one of the sweetest, nicest guys. So many people came out and talked about like one-on-one interactions with Oscar, and you just really saw the type of person that he is. He always thinks about the organization, is always supporting the city, and so that's what I thought of when I thought of class guy. I thought of Oscar Lindblom.
That's interesting. I kind of had Lindblom in the Gene Hart Award slot because it's voted on by the fan club, and there's a gift to a charity that goes along with it. And so I thought that that's kind of where the Lindblom love would go this year.
That's interesting because I picked Kevin Hayes for kind of the switch, like the reason why for the last award, because I just felt like he is kind of the heart of that group. Like with him, I mean, obviously there's other additions, but everyone continues to talk about Kevin Hayes and his leadership, and it kind of seems like he's like, if not the heart of the team, but a part of the team, like a really big part. So, yeah, either one I could absolutely see, but I think we just looked at it in different ways.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how the interpretation goes over the course of the season and how everything winds up. But I think all these picks for each of them would be good no matter who wins them. And it's always a fun presentation at the last home game of the season.
Yeah. Who did Alex pick for the Gene Hart?
So he had Oscar, possibly okay. Elliot.
Okay. Oh, okay. Alex, all right. Yeah. I like the dark horse contenders.
Yeah, me too. Brian Elliott is really respected on this team. And I think that overall has performed so much better this season. And so I think has a lot of respect and admiration on this team. So wouldn't be surprised if Elliot got something. All right. So we'll see how the Flyers season winds up and how that all fits in. So moving on to a couple of other mailbag questions. You know, we talked about trade deadline for the Flyers, but regardless of what the Flyers actually need, is there a particular player that's out there in rumor land that you would just like to see on the Flyers on general principle?
I really want JG Pageau, and I know that's not the fun pick because we already talked about him, but he's just so good. The last time the Senators were in the playoffs, he was, I feel like that's like was like his breakout into the NHL for everyone to see. So I really, really want JG Pageau. And I love that he can play any position. So, I mean, anytime anyone gets hurt, I really want him. I know that's not a fun pick. I apologize, but that's who I really want.
Oh, that's okay. For me, it's Jason Zucker. I love him. I think he's a fantastic winger. And again, the Flyers don't need a winger right now particularly, but I've always admired him from afar. And I feel like he would complement the other players that we have right now in a really good way. I would love to see Jason Zucker on a line with TK and Coots. I think that would be fun. You know, I would love to see him help shore up that third line a little bit more and maybe head out there with Scott Laughton. So I'm a Jason Zucker fan. What can I say? And I think a move would be good for him. And then he wouldn't wind up on the Pens, which would also make me happy. So our next question, a friend of the show, Mary Clark, who's been a guest on the show, had a post on Fansided, where she works, about how the Caps and Sharks have individual goal songs now or moving toward it. And we know the Canucks have done it in the past, but is there either a Flyers player or for you personally, a song you would want as your goal song?
Oh, this is a good question. I would pick for my own one, Get Low by Little John and the East Side Boys. It would be like the clean version for the kids. Like I wouldn't make
well, of
it
course.
That traumatizing. But oh my gosh, yeah. Like my childhood me would be thriving scoring those goals.
Nice.
What about you?
So for me personally, I am a Broadway musical nerd, and I just think it's fun to insert my Broadway stuff into sports, which is hard to do sometimes. So for a goal song, these are kind of deep-ish cuts, but there's one of my favorite musicals is Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, and there's a kind of dance break-ish song called Balaga, and it's just basically a 19th century Russian bar where there's dancing and drinking going on, but it's just a really fun, super fast-paced Russian cultural dance song sound to it, and so I think I would use that.
You will have to find a link to it to play that song. It'll be good. I want to hear.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, my second choice I think would be from Kinky Boots. There's a song "Raise You Up" at the end, which is amazing, and it's just like a drag queen glam anthem song, which is also great. So, either of those would be great.
Oh, this I don't know why. Well, the drag queen comment reminded me of like. Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, also a contender for my goal song. It's so good.
It is a fantastic song. With all of those songs in mind, that is the end of today's show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow, where we'll start talking about some Flyers hockey again. Hooray. We'll get to preview the Pens Flyers game, which is coming up on Friday, and then take a walk down memory lane and look at some of our top Flyers versus Pens moments. As always, you can send in your questions for this weekly mailbag via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or to LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on the show, email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. Have a great day.